Go.
Good evening. I have good news for you. This thing that we call the universe, or this thing that we call God, would be incomplete without each and every one of us, without each and every one of you. This thing that we call God needs us all. That's how important we are. Please try to remember how important you are. And don't allow the outside world or other people to tell you differently or to take that away from you. You are important. You are needed. Remember that. It's a wonderful thing to remember. Instead of thinking all those other things about yourself, tell yourself, I'm important. That this whole universe would be incomplete without me. So the universe needs you. And this thing we call God or good or Harry or whatever you want to call it needs you. So use that in your thinking and in your daily life. All right? I see new faces in the crowd tonight. Does everyone know that this is a metaphysical teaching? Okay, so we don't have to explain that to you. So with that said, we'll start as we always do with spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what this thing we call God already knows about us. We are affirming or reaffirming what the universe knows about us. I will do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And here's what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with the only power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. And I use that power. I use that power right here and right now to bring into my life all the abundance, the prosperity, and money so that I can have a life of freedom, of fulfillment, of love. And I let that be so. And so it is. Tonight's class is on witness, and everyone wants to know what that is. Witnessing is learning to witness your thoughts, learning to see what you're actually thinking and not get involved with that thinking. So we'll discuss that, and I'll show you how that's done, because we have a tendency to keep to constantly use our ego mind instead of the mind of God, which we're all able to use. I don't know if people remember that when you are looking for something, anything that you're looking for is looking for you. What you are seeking is seeking you. And we ask God or the universe for messages and so forth. Well, you know, God doesn't yell down from heaven, because I hate to tell you this, but God does not have a mouth. God does not have a mouth. If you want to see God's mouth, look at your own. That's God's mouth. But anyway, I was at tea the other day with a friend of mine, Beverly. And here is what the tea bag said. Better keep yourself clear and bright. You are the window through which you see the world. Remember that from last week? We had one that said something similar to that. And this was by George Bernard Shaw. And the second one was, this was hers, I took it from her. And we have discussed this one before. One person with a belief is equal to a force of 99 who have only interests. One person with a belief is equal to 99 people. This concept, and this was by John Stuart Mill. I have no idea who he was, but it was 1806 to 1873. So this has been around, this teaching and this concept, for a long time. When we use this 1 to 99, does anyone remember who was very good at this, whose consciousness was so big that it conquered an empire? Yes. Gandhi was able to do it. He just sat there and did nothing. But he thought. And that's what we have to do. We have an opportunity, each and every one of us, to change the world. But it has to do with us and inside of us. I have a Christmas letter. How many people like Christmas letters? They're horrible, some of them.
You mean like the family
that
writes?
Yeah, the family writes everything.
Yeah, I don't care.
But this one is from my friend Addie. Addie is 91. And it says, seems like such a short time ago, such a, I'm not going to read this whole thing. Several friends and so forth. But at the end here, she puts down, well, dear ones, I leave you with this, with some good advice. Remember what is most important. It is not having everything go right. It is facing whatever goes wrong. It is not being without fear. It is having the determination to go on in spite of it. It is not where you stand, but the direction you are going in. Remember to live just this one day and not add tomorrow's troubles to today's load. Love what you do. Do the best you can. And always remember how much you are loved. Then she goes on to add a personal note to me, because I talked to her on the phone recently. And here's what she says. Something about she's having a cataract operation. Otherwise, I'm doing fine. My sense of humor keeps me going. Take care, dear friend, and have a Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy New Year. It's her humor that keeps her going. Please, come in. There's the high chairs back there. I didn't mean they were higher. I didn't mean it. You know, I just meant they were a higher chair. I didn't mean it. Anyway, Addie is 91. 4 years ago, she had a colostomy. Doesn't bother her at all. Her and her sister are leaving for a cruise to Hawaii. I forget how old her sister is. 90 maybe. But they keep going. They keep seeing life. I met Addie when I was at the Atlanta Church of Religious Science. And she's been doing this for years. I also had a friend, a call from a friend of mine who was at my church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I hadn't heard from her in at least 15, if not more, years. And she said to me, Dallas, you know, I just dropped out for a while. But she said, I missed the teaching. I missed it. And that's what happens. You can drop out of this, but you'll miss it. because once the mind is stretched, it cannot go back. You cannot put up with the doomers and gloomers. You cannot put up with negativity as a daily diet. And you can recognize it much quicker now and get away from it. Get away from it. You don't have to deal in negativity. The world deals in negativity. We do not deal in negativity. I also had a friend of mine who's in the theater. She had taken a job as a stage manager in Albany, and she was scared to death because Leanna by now is about 63, and she didn't think she was young enough. She thought she wouldn't remember what she had to do calling the show because she hadn't called a show for so long. And she said, as I was driving down to Albany, Dallas, she said, I thought of you. And she said, I just said, well, I can do this. And she said, I'm not going to get tongue-tied and not be able to do this. So she just started to repeat different tongue twisters. And she said, by the time I arrived there, I was fine. And I said, thank you, I'll take credit for that. We can do this, people. We cannot allow this mind of ours, the ego part of our mind, to rule our lives. And yet we constantly do this to ourselves. We constantly do this to ourselves. There is no negativity in the mind of God. Negativity is a man-made thing. Do you think God ever thinks negative? Well, I don't think I can make that star today. I think I forgot the formula to make that person. I don't know if I can do it anymore. I'm getting a little old, you know. I don't know if I can do it. Not in the mind of God. Not in the mind of God. No negativity. So with the holidays coming and all, don't get into that negativity. Don't get into the negativity. Stay on the positive side. And have fun and fill your life with joy during this period. All right. So you want to know how to witness your thoughts. Here's what the ego mind does. This summer I took my niece out on a little shopping spree when I was in Washington. And I bought her a pair of earrings and a bracelet and I don't know what, other little trinkets. And I was delighted to do that. And I said to myself, I do not expect to thank you for this. Now that was an old thing that I grew up with, that you always had to send a thank you card out. You had to do all that stuff, which is wonderful if you want to do that, but it's not necessary. You know, it's a cultural thing. It's a polite thing to do. I'm sure Amy Vanderbilt would love you if you did that type of thing. But when you give a gift, when you give anything, you don't give it with the expectation, well, they have to send me a card, a thank you card, or the hell with them. You see. So I released all that. I knew all that. So a couple weeks ago, I'm driving along. Well, that ungrateful. Can you believe how ungrateful she is? She's never called you. Didn't you send her a card? Yeah. And tell you how much you like being with you. Did she return that? No. Well, she's never going to get another damn thing out of me. That's the mind working away. Thought we had that problem solved. So I just witness all that conversation. I just witness it. I don't go into anything, you know. I don't make a telephone call to her father and say, you raised your child wrong, you know. She's an ingrate. My mind wants to do all that. So I have to what? I have to go to the other side. I have to look at that and I have to say, this is not the way I want to be. This is not the way God is thinking. You see, we must learn to think God thoughts after it. And we have that choice. I talk about Aunt Catherine, who's now 93. And we have a saying in religious science, change your mind, change your life. And we know that. But Aunt Catherine, I said, how do you do it, Aunt Catherine, at 93? You're always up. I've never seen her depressed. I've never seen her angry. And she said to me, Dallas, I control my thinking. You see, which is a much better thing, to control your thinking. We know we can change our minds, but can we control our thinking? Well, I left that thing with Rebecca, that's my niece, go on, and I watched it. But I didn't get into that. I didn't sit down and write a letter to her and say, you're awful, I'm never speaking to you again, you're the worst child in the world, yada, 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 whatever. Now, mind you, my mind wanted to do all that. But that's just an internal conversation that the ego mind wants to do. The ego mind always wants to get you into trouble of some sort. Anyone who thinks that the ego mind is their friend is wrong. The ego mind is not your friend. You have to give the ego mind credit for giving you as far ahead in life as you are now and to getting you where you are. Then you must learn to listen to that and to be able to control it and to say, no, this is not the way I want to think. This is not my belief. This is not what I am studying. This is not what I am teaching. The Course in Miracles says, teach only love. Teach only love. Because that is what you are. Which goes right back to our statement of what? All that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. Because God and love are one in the same thing. Are one in the same thing. Which is what?
Unity.
Always unity. No separation. There's no separation between you or me and this thing we call God, the Creator, and the creation are one in the same thing. It can be no other way. It can be no other way. But we have freedom, and we have freedom of choice. We can decide how we're going to think. So when these little things, if you're driving along and minding your own business, and all of a sudden garbage starts coming in to your mind, does this happen? Am I the only one this happens to? You know. All of a sudden, before you know it, garbage. What's going on? You cannot believe that voice. You have to tell that voice to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. It's not your friend. It never brought you any good news, and it's not about ready to. But it's about ready to keep you upset all the time. Loves to do that. Talking about being upset and watching your mind, you know, I do believe that we are here to absolutely enjoy life. But I also believe we're here for lessons, but never in a punitive way. This thing that we call God never punishes. If anyone thinks that God punishes, please come see me privately. Because God does not punish. What does God do?
Makes all things new.
Thank you. God makes all things new. Yes, God loves you. God always loves you. That's a given. But God always makes all things new. As I say, God is not in the repair business. You know, God makes something new. If you're hurt or injured or something, your body makes that new. It doesn't repair it. We say, oh, maybe we think it's repair, but it's not repair. It's brand new. You see, brand new. It's the same way that old thing, God doesn't make junk, you know. It's impossibility. So anyway, the lesson that I'm going through now, learning patience, I suppose, you know, I'm having my kitchen remodeled. And every day they do something stupid. Every day. I came in and they had two plumbers there with sledgehammers. And I said, what's going on? Well, we have to move that drain pipe. What's underneath here? I said, a garage. Well, we'll just go down there. We'll knock that ceiling down. We'll take that and we'll put it over here and we'll smash this in. We'll do that, this and the other thing. I said, well, I don't think so. I said, first of all, the garage underneath is not mine. So you're not going to smash somebody else's in. So I said, why do you have to do this? Well, the dishwasher won't fit in there. I said, why not? It's 3 inches off. I said, move the sink. And then the dishwasher will fit in. I went, oh, yeah. We could do that. We could do that. So now my mind, of course, the ego part of my mind wants to puff me up, you know, and say, oh, I'm smarter than they are routine. You know, you have to watch. You constantly have to witness what's going on in your mind. And what your mind is going to do to you, you see. So anyway, now I get irate with these people because it's supposed to be out in 4 days and they tell me there's no dust. Of course, I should have realized that there'd be some dust, but I didn't know it was dust, you know, not that thick. So I call the man. And of course, I got carried away with myself, and I didn't want to yell and scream, you know, but I started to threaten, and I caught myself threatening, you know. I told him, you know, first of all, it's being done by Sears. I said, you know, your stock's not that great right now. Not that that man wanted to know that, you know. And then you have to start blaming. You have to start telling them stuff like this. And I'm going, what is going on? I'm saying, what am I doing? You know, of course, now I'm too far into it. I'm too far in to back out, you know, so I have to keep going with threats, you know. Well, you're not going to get paid. Well, I haven't paid him anything anyway, you know. Which is, has anyone ever heard of this? They put everything in and I haven't paid them a cent.
They don't ask for it.
They never ask for it. And I'm, you know, they have all this stuff and all this. I find that incredible. But anyway, I mean, I thought that they asked for half. You know, they haven't asked for a cent. You know, which I reminded them, of course, at that line on the phone, you know, and I'll tell you an owner thing. You know, so anyway, that's just that mind, and that you have to witness what you're doing. So, then I wrote out a little 3x5 card. I put it by the phone. And on the card, it just says, see God. You see. Has anyone been in sales and you used to put a mirror in front of the phone? So that you could get a smile on your face and you could watch your face, how angry you're getting or what you're getting. Well, then you change that, you see. Grand technique. Watch, and you'll find phone calls go better. So anyway, I put that, see God on there. course, I forgot to look at it. So my mind. But you, this is the thing that people, that we all do, and we think it's right. And it's not right. So by the end of the day, I had myself, after I was going to not pay them, and then I was going to pay them some, and then I was going to give them this, you know, and then that, you know, this is the ego part of the mind again. Then it starts to negotiate. And it starts to say, well, maybe instead of taking $300 a day off Dallas, maybe you just ask for the cleaning fee. Then this, that, and the other thing. I finally got myself clear over to give them exactly what they want, Dallas, the exact penny of the money. Because they're doing their job. I'm just seeing it differently than they see it. And that is not the bargain that I made with them. That's not the contract that I made with them. They said they would do it, I think it's $14,000, they would do it for $14,000. But, you know, it's a sneaky, your mind is sneaky. Do you have a sneaky mind? I do. It says, well, I could get away with this, you see. Then it says, now listen, I'll tell you how that works. It says, well, now Dallas, if you could make them pay for the cleaning, and you could get this off and that off, just think, you could have your chairs reupholstered. This is bargaining. And this is what the ego mind does. So when you get caught up in any of that stuff, any of that type of thinking, you have to realize that it's your ego. And it's the ego mind. And you can choose to control that. You can choose to control your thinking. And you can witness what you're doing and step out of it into a better way of thinking. Do you remember the gamut that I talk about from here to there? And if somebody comes up and does something wrong to you, your first thought or my first thought is, I'll kill the SOB. Now, do I want to live in that? No. So I watch my thinking, and I keep thinking, and I keep thinking, and I keep thinking, till I get it over to where I can love that person. To where I can love that person. I'm never going to take them to lunch, but I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them. Because I feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, I feel better about it. And I can't sit here in front of a class and tell people all this stuff and not practice it at home and not practice it when I get out of the room. Many people say to me, Dallas, you shouldn't tell people that. These are other ministers that I used to know before I was defrocked. You shouldn't tell them that. They'll think that you're one of them. Well, I am one of you. We're all one of each other. I'm not any bigger, brighter, or more spiritual or anything than any of you people. So I tell you personal stories. Because if you know my mind works that way, I know that your mind has to work that way. You see, people say to me, how do you know what I'm thinking? How do you know that, Dallas? How do I know that? There's only one mind, the mind of God. And we all live, move, and have our being in that one mind. And all minds work the same. Some better, some worse. But the ego mind will always do the same thing. If it's doing it to me, I know it's doing it to each and every one of you. But no one wants to talk about that. No one wants to say to somebody, you know, this is, you know, because they're afraid that the other person will think poorly of them or that their mind is not working that way. All minds are working the same. But we're learning how to control them. Remember, you are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Yours to use in the way you want to use it. And when you look around and you see that the way you're looking at the mind right now, or the way your life is, if you change that thinking, your whole life changes. Your whole life changes. I forgot something in Addie's little letter here at the top. She says, it seems such a short time since 02 rang in. Here it is, 06 already, and apparently humming along. However, we are not going to have world peace until everyone has peace within themselves. Until everyone has peace within themselves. You see, that's what this whole teaching is about. You know? Does anyone remember the 11th commandment? Oops, somebody has it.
I think it's mind your own business.
It is mind your own business. That's the 11th commandment, yes. Moses dropped, you know, the tablets on the way down. That one got cut off. Mind your own business means take care of yourself. Learn to have peace within yourself before you start shouting that the world needs peace or some country needs peace. And I'm going to go over there and show them with force how to become peaceful. We have to be peaceful within ourselves. We're doing that. Did you have a question?
How would you, in the mind of God, or your higher self, how would you handle the situation that you were in? You gave the example of the ego mind. What is the example of your I am presence, or your God mind, in the situation?
Oh, well, when I was doing that whole thing, when I say I witness my thinking, which I always am witness my thinking, I become a witness to my own thinking. And I see that thinking going on. But my other, rest of my mind, says to me, Dallas, look what's going on here. And because I'm in this teaching, I can move over to that other side. And I can let all that stuff go. Because I don't blame those people. You know, I take full responsibility for all of that. And I just let it go. Because, you see, the ego mind, what does it always want to do?
Be right.
It always wants to be right, but it always wants to punish. It always wants to punish.
Punish the other side.
Punish you, punish them, yes. But that's all it's out for, to punish. So when you see that, you can go to the other side and you can think, oh, I would like to think this way. I would like to see this. I would like to see everything through the eyes of love. I would like to imagine how would God handle this, you know. And when I say, how does God handle this? We know, we go to love. You see, anytime you're not feeling well, you're off center. And you have to love yourself back into center. Remember the exercises that we do to love ourselves back? I was talking to Lisa at dinner tonight, and what did you say you were going to do? And then what did I say?
And I said, and love myself. And he said to me, why is that always the last thing that you do?
She was going to do everything else. And she put, I'm going to love myself at the bottom. You got to love yourself at the top. You see, when my mind was doing all that to me, do you think I could love myself? I thought, ooh, Dallas, what an awful, ugly person you are. And I'm good at that, you know. I'm amazed at how ugly I can become. You know, I could have ripped those people to shreds.
So what were you supposed to say? Oh, do you guys mind moving the sink?
Well, sometimes you have to, yes, you're communicating with people that you have to say, you know, look, you know, 3 inches, move this sink, you know, and don't wreck the whole house with sledgehammers. What I said to them is, were you this destructive when you were a child?
No.
I did. And the two of them just looked at me like, and I'm sure they probably were. They love, you know, workmen love to do that type of thing, you know. Give them a sledgehammer. It's like the man, you know, you give these men, some of these men, a chainsaw. And they can't wait to wake up in the morning and saw down a tree. Who wants to saw down a tree? You know, I don't get over that, you know. Oh, I think I'll saw down that redwood, you know. It's been here 2,000 years. It's a done. Might as well chop it down. Who thinks that way? The two that were in my kitchen with a sledgehammer. It's learning to change your mind. It's learning first to see that and to realize that you're not that person. You do not have to be that person. You can come over and be the person that you want to be, you see. Now, some people may like to do that, but I doubt anyone wakes up in the morning and says, I think I'll be nasty this morning, you know.
Well, so, you know, I get on the phone with some of my vendors sometimes, and I, you know, I can have back-to-back very... non-productive conversations, you know. It could be over product, it could be over money, you know. It could be you're having a bad day or I'm having a bad day, you know. It could, but so now I think to myself, I have a really, my ego is fucked up. I mean, my ego is like way beyond Jack and the Beanstalk. And so I don't know sometimes if it's about my ego or if it's about a historical program of maybe anger, you know, because during the conversation, I'll get to a certain level, and then it will turn into like, I feel as if, I'm getting angry, because, and I'm getting angry, okay, so now I'm answering my own question, I think, too. I'm getting angry because my ego is, it's not getting what it needs to get. It's not getting the yes answers.
Yes.
You know? So now, I was taught to say, you know, actually my brother actually said this to me once, you know, why don't you put him on hold, whoever it might be. You know, take a deep breath and change, go to someplace higher, whatever the case may be.
I would suggest the idea, see God on the 3x5 card by the phone and a mirror to see what you're doing with yourself, and then you'll see how ridiculous you are and you'll start to laugh.
Okay.
You see. Do that, really. Because you just break that habit right up and you think, oh my God, look at me. You know, this is horrible. And you don't do that. By the way, the electricians were supposed to come on Saturday to my place. They didn't call, they didn't come. And the list of numbers that they gave me, these contact numbers that they gave me, don't work on Saturdays. The one said, our mailbox is full, call back. Now, I was home alone getting livid on this one, you know. So I had to calm myself down from that, but I'll tell you what I did. Then I got to laughing at myself. Because finally on Monday I got somebody and I said to them, I sat here till 2:00 in the afternoon thinking maybe a plumber or an electrician was coming and he was just late and running behind time. And I said, you left me sat here. And then guess what came out of my mouth? You ruined my whole day. I went, Dallas, what is wrong with you? You see, it's impossible for anyone to ruin your day. It's impossible. All that may be going on, but I'm making the choice if it's going to ruin my day or not. So I comped that and just sat there. Then I had this other little thing about the ego mind, which I just loved, and this was because this was a race mind thing that rushed in before I could catch it. You know, I had said once, a suggestion was put a guard up here, you know, that's guarding all your thoughts that are coming in so that you can catch them. The guard can get them before they do damage to you, before something happens. And just know that that guard is always going to do that. And it's going to catch those things before you open your mouth and say something stupid. So anyway, I ran into the pool man, and I said, how are you doing since your back operation? Since his back, he had a back operation. And the reason why I said that, because he was walking in front of me, and he was and then I remembered that he had a back operation. So I said, well, how's your back operation? And how's your back is what I said. And he said, I think it's much better. But he said, you know, the doctor says it's good. And before I knew what I said, well, that's what counts. Total race mind. Total race mind before you know what you're doing. Just spits itself out. Now, do you think I go home and punish myself for any of this stuff?
No.
What do I do?
Forgive yourself and love yourself.
I forgive myself immediately. I love myself immediately. I say, look what you've done. You're not going to do that again. And if you do it again, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to keep doing this till I get it right, till this doesn't happen to me anymore.
You know, I'm just noticing that when I'm in traffic, I've really changed a lot. I've changed from the way I used to be in traffic. I notice there's a certain expectation that people have in driving in the valley or LA. Like if you let someone in or something like that, people behind you, like, you know, all like bent and, you know. And I would normally go into that anger with, screw you, you know, I'll just go into, like, you stupid shit, you know, all that. But I don't do that anymore. It just, something stops. You know, I know that all the upset and the negative chemicals that are going to get released in me, that's not worth it. So I just, for some reason, somehow, I go, bless you. You know, it sounds really kind of lofty, but I just go, God bless you, or yes. I love you, or, you know, send light, and I just don't go there.
Yeah. All right. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. And I just want to make one little comment on what you just said. Yeah. And the comment was, that may be lofty. Where do you think that came from? It may be lofty.
Yeah.
The ego slipped right in, gotcha.
Yeah, no,
I heard the ego slip in.
Because saying, you know, I can still have love in that situation is a new thing.
But the thing is, I want you to hear, it's all right to be lofty.
Yeah.
Or Pollyanna.
Right. It's all right to be any of those things. You have to raise up in consciousness.
Yeah.
If you don't raise up in consciousness to a different type of thinking and become a little lofty, you're going to be right back down in there with all this other crap that's going on. And the main thing that you said was all the chemicals and the endorphins and all the stuff that goes to triggers and goes off in your body that does thousands damage. Remember, I tell you, thoughts always go someplace and do something. And they usually go inward and do bodily damage. They do bodily damage. So you're learning. And that's all witnessing is about, is learning. Learning to see that and stop it and forgive yourself till you stop doing it completely.
There's a woman today at where I work, and she says, she's really nice, and I can tell she liked me. And so she says, oh, you know, you better watch out because, oh, she said, so-and-so's not here, different people are not here because they're sick. And then she said, you know, you better watch out because so-and-so's coughing, so-and-so's doing whatever with an illness. And then she says, because you want to get it. I said, you know, I don't really look at those things. I never notice anything like that. She says, oh, no wonder you look so good, and whatever she says, and some compliments. But my old thing is to try to please her or not offend her or not make her feel inferior. But the truth is, I can't make her feel anything, and I'm realizing that. So I'd rather make me feel good, which I stepped out there and took the risk that she may not like me. I didn't necessarily get it.
Yeah. Well, step out and take the risk. We were taught as children, and we're taught it by the world and by society, that we have to be that type of person, that we have to be polite and so forth. You do not have to be. It's nice to be polite. But when people come up to me and say all those kind of things, I just say to them, I'm so glad that I don't live in your universe. And I walk on. Now, I'm sure they think, what a nutcase he is. I don't care. I don't care. I want to go through this life with joy, with serenity, with peace, and peace of mind. You see, I don't like my ego drive me crazy. I can laugh at it and look at it now and realize, that's not me. That's not me. It's just that voice in there that wants to convince you this is who you are, you nasty little fellow. You know. And I don't listen to it. I don't listen to it. Because I go to the other side. And I just sit there calmly. And if you sit very calmly, you'll feel that love and you'll feel God come right over to you. Come right through you. It's an amazing thing. Has anyone discovered that? But you have to, yes. It's a wonderful thing. And we can do all this. But we have to learn to change our thinking. We have to learn to control our thinking. And just witness what's going on. We had the young lady last week who wanted to talk about Buddhism. And about them and their suffering and so forth in the world. Well, there is suffering in the world, but you don't have to suffer. All suffering's man-made. And suffering gets you nowhere, you know. Tons of people, you know, they say, but the suffering Jesus, and Jesus suffered. Jesus only suffered 3 hours on the cross, we think, because there was no one there recording this whole thing. But people have been suffering for 30, 40, 50, 60 years because Jesus suffered. Well, he was smart enough to say 3 hours, that's enough. You know? I tell people, if you suffer for more than 3 minutes, there's something wrong with you. Because there's always somebody there to help you. There's always something there to help you. People get into suffering because they enjoy it. And it becomes a way of life for them. Most people use suffering for some type of a payoff that they're going to get at the end. Don't do that to yourself. You know, you can have any payoff you want without doing any of that to yourself. You don't have to do it to yourself. Everything you want, you can have. Everything you want is already done for you. You just have to open yourself to receiving it. And that's the difficult part we have. What are the things that would keep one from receiving something? Not deserving. You have to conquer those three. You have to know that you're absolutely deserving, you're absolutely worthy, and that you're completely lovable. And that will open all kinds of doors for you. I was going to tell you a subtle thing about the ego also. the ego always has to be right. And therein lies the difficulty, because we don't want to give that up. We've been taught at all costs you have to be right. I was with somebody who said, are you teaching next week? And I said, yeah, I think it's the 21st. They said, no, I think it's the 22nd. I said, oh, well, whatever. They looked it up and said, no, it's the 22nd. I was right.
That was me.
As soon as you hear, I was right, the ego has to sneak in. And it snuck in to say, ha-ha, I'm right. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? None. I'm not putting you down here.
Oh, I don't take it personally.
But it's a subtle little thing. And it slips in before we know it. And we think, oh, I have this teaching down. I'm so spiritual. Everything's going hunky-dory. And then, whap, it hits you. Before you know it. But you learn to notice that. You learn to become a witness to your own thinking. And you learn how to control it. And you learn how to change it. So that you are living the best life that you can live. The best life that you can live. Filled with joy and happiness and peace. And that can be done. There's no mystery to that whatsoever. And if you stay in this teaching, you'll be able to do that. When I came back from vacation, maybe it was somebody else, said, or no, maybe I decided, that we were going to kick everything up a notch so that you people would learn more. In January, we were going to fine-tune everything so that you'll notice when you say, I'm right. You see? That those things don't slip out. Like the doctor. Well, then that's, you know. Because it's there and it gets you before you know it. But you can notice it and let it go and change it. Now, I didn't go back to the pool man and say, oh, you know, I made a mistake, you know, or anything like that. But I sit down and I notice that and I say, look what your mind did to you. Who's in control here? Whose fingers are on the control buttons? Mine. Mine. Not God's. Mine. And I have to learn how to think differently. How to think differently. That's all it takes, is learning to think differently. I was going to tell you, and I forgot. Last week when I went home, I was just so filled with love. And I often am, by the way, when I leave the class. But last week, for some reason, when I looked out and saw so many faces smiling back at me, and for some reason last week, so many people, I could tell they were getting it. I could see all the little bulbs going off. And I just think that's wonderful. And I want to thank you for that, you know. I love you people, and I love doing this class. It's just fantastic for me. So thank you for giving me all that love, because when I went home I was just ecstatic with it, you know. And it's wonderful. And we're going to learn to give that to each other, and we're going to learn to feel it. In January, or maybe before, next week, we'll see if we can't fill this room with love. And I don't mean just fill it with thoughts, which we will, but we'll fill it with love. so that each and every one of you can feel love. So many people have never really felt love. They think they have, but they haven't really felt love. I am going to do it for you. We're all going to participate in it. And we'll fill this room with love, and you'll be able to feel it. And you'll be able to say, is that what it is? Is that what he's talking about? Because it's there. You know, we live, move, and have our being in it all the time. But no one ever told you you could actually feel it. And I'll teach you to do that. Isn't that wonderful? I think you people are wonderful. And I know that I'm wonderful. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming once again. There's a sign-in sheet there and a basket for donations for Dallas. If you'd like copies of any of the past weeks of class, I have some of those on CDs if you want to see me about that. And Jeff's birthday's on Saturday, people. Thank you both for coming.
Oh, Rhoda, didn't you? You're going to bring cookies next week, right? Rhoda is going to bring cookies. We'll celebrate the holiday. And if you want cream sprinkles, so. We'll celebrate. Anytime. You bring it, dear. That's for your give it to you.
I'm sorry.